Hey now.
Hey.
Hey now.
Hello.
May 19th. That's when we dropped our last episode. Five months.
The whole world has changed.
Think about how different it was on May 19th.
We were quarantined, but
it was still fun back then.
I don't know if it was fun, Craig. But
we thought it was something different, you know, like life had changed, mm-hmm. you know, and we were going to go through this thing together. Now we're coming out of our clothes trying to make this work.
It was a more innocent time in May, you know.
This is really awful. And then, you know, we got all the stuff going on with politics. Turkey and Azerbaijan are
trying to climb down on their breakaway state.
Oh boy.
We're still in the Middle East.
Should we make a drop that's just for serious politics talk on Bachelor Masters?
Craig, I don't want to talk about climate change, dear Lord. It like hurts my soul.
Well, we have to set the foundation here because, you know, we're going to be talking about the whitest white woman ever to be the Bachelorette. It's going to all be fun and games. So we just have to lay a little groundwork that the world is a chaotic and complicated place.
Do we know exactly what date Claire and her many men went into seclusion?
No.
Try to Google that to be like, do we know? Because it would be interesting. I don't know exactly how long ago that was.
So they went into seclusion at a place called La Quinta, which is a...
They're branding it as, you know what I mean? It's like a Holiday Inn kind of chain. But from what I read, it's a very fancy resort version that's owned by La Quinta.
it does sound like
when you say... They're like quarantined and then filming in a La Quinta. It sounds like they're off the highway in like Nevada somewhere. And
well, that's not too far from the truth. It's off the highway in Palm Springs.
They branded it as Palm Springs.
Most people that say they're in Palm Springs are actually not in Palm Springs. They're in Palm Desert.
I'm looking at this, and it's a Waldorf Astoria, I guess, bought. La Quinta 2 or something? Because it says it's Waldorf Astoria's La Quinta Resort and Club in La Quinta.
Yes, it isn't. See, that's what I was trying to say. It's in a town.
It's coincidentally. Like, there's a city called Motel 6. And you're like, accidentally.
So this one isn't affiliated with the La Quinta chain?
I don't think so.
Huh. You know, that's...
Anyway,
it's not
I've
great
stayed
branding.
There. And... It's that, what do you call it? Revival of like Spanish architecture.
Oh.
Revival.
Like mission style or whatever.
Yeah. Exposed rafters and like white walls. So the pictures that we're looking at of the men, most of them seem to be taken outside of one of the rooms up against the wall on an iPhone and slightly blurry.
Yeah, because they... didn't bring a professional photographer.
Well, they're not lit, which is weird. Like, so you really get to see the guys as they really are because they're not lit and they're taken on an iPhone. Some of the pictures are clearly from like their Instagram or whatever.
So have you seen that ABC has put the official bios up at last?
Except that the last five of them aren't up.
Yes, but I mean like now they actually have men on the page, whereas before... I guess like the page where you normally have that list of the cast where you click on it and it's like, so-and-so loves talking to taxi drivers or whatever. They didn't have that for a while. So that's why everyone was looking at that like glamour slideshow or whatever. But they have it up now.
But the last like group of guys, the blink is broken or they just have the pictures. I am so annoyed. I could tell you the group of guys that I'm like, okay, I looked this up, but it's not there. Starting with, I don't know, what you mean. The last five. Yosef is in there, which I was very curious about because we've got some Okay, so I guess we should, at this point in the podcast, give a big disclaimer, because this is not normally us, but we normally do a spoiler-free
normally we're funny episode. And well thought out and insightful.
Spoiler-free is what I was going to say.
And we're not doing that this time. No, we're doing none of that.
We started off slow. We're kind of rough around the edges here.
Well, we're going to be discussing Claire's season, or what everyone already should know, because you couldn't avoid it if you're... If you are like us and had to watch Entertainment Tonight or were on Instagram, it was huge news, and we know a little bit about Claire's season. So at this point, if you are somehow have stayed away from this, which is impossible, right? But we're just going to give this one piece of news away. Okay.
I'm dying now to know what it is.
Now we can start. What? It's that Claire picks someone within the first couple episodes.
I know, I'm just kidding.
Oh. Okay, that's the spoil.
Yeah. So we all know that Claire picks somebody out of these men. We know who it is also.
I don't.
Oh, I do know who it is, okay. But we cannot share that if we don't want to.
Okay. Well,
yeah, we don't have to share that.
I mean, I don't care, but yeah, maybe we keep that secret. But yeah, I don't know who it is.
So, okay, well, if you don't know, we'll help. We'll keep it from you. Like,
yeah
it'll fine. Be a surprise.
All right, yay!
It's not even like a Google search. Like, you know, I will put on the suggested news articles, and his name will just be the first thing you see.
Oh, really?
And it's really frustrating. Yeah, because if I wanted to be you, I wouldn't be able to be.
My news feeds has all this like smut on it, so I'm surprised I haven't figured it out yet. Huh.
Mm.
Real quick.
I mean, his name is like a word, so go ahead.
Okay.
So maybe you haven't noticed that it's a name, is what I'm saying.
Oh my god. Well, maybe.
More clues.
What's it? There's this guy, Chasen Nick. And then,
my God.
His last name is Nick. His name's Chasen Nick. And then there's...
Are you talking about Bennett? Or are you talking about names?
I'm just looking through, like, people that have funny names. And Paige Bennett. Presley. Okay, look. So, Reality Steve figured out that Claire had been DMing with somebody before the show started. And then once the show started, she realized that she actually really did like this guy. And for one reason or another, I think on week 5 of the show, not necessarily of taping, she says, that's enough, I'm with this guy, and leaves. Mm-hmm. Now, Reality Steve, just a few days ago, walked back a little bit, the talking before, the DMing before the show. Mm. Like, he says he's not able to actually prove that. So maybe they met on the show, maybe they didn't. So apparently they bring in Tayshia to clean up the mess.
Yeah.
And
as always,
it creates a very strange scenario with all the men listed, because they cast for Claire, and then they recast for Claire after the pandemic, and then they maybe brought some guys back or brought in new guys for Tayshia. So what I'm looking at, which is the Marie Claire article, has 57 guys, but
yeah,
every guy after 32, so 33 through 57, they say was not part of the recast.
Right, and then there's a handful that say like not on Claire's season, which is very ambiguous. So what I like about this though is that Caitlin, for you know your first season was Colton's, right?
It was Colton's season.
Right. They used to give us these huge, like, spoilers, and it would end up in nothing, I would say, pre-2010s. Now, they give us this weird spoiler when they let us know something completely out of context, and we, like, go crazy over it. And then when it comes, sometimes, it blows our minds. Hashtag fence jump, right, Craig? Like...
Oh, right. Oh, okay. Yeah,
yes, I loved the fence jump. It was it was as dramatic as it had been promised.
Exactly. Right. And like, just a fence jump is no big deal, except that the context was insane, which we will get to, because it actually comes.
You know, so what's the big mind-blowing thing now?
We don't know. That's what I like, is that we're hoping for something. Like, Tayshia is the new lead. I don't trust that that's all there is to know there. There's going to be something great. I can't promise, but that's the way it's been.
There's some trailer. Have you seen that trailer where Claire is crying over something, but it's not clear, and one of her contestants floats the idea of a bunch of them all walking out together, like basically contestants are unionizing and going on strike.
Good for them.
But it's unclear if this is like, you know what I mean? Like, this could be nothing. It could be like one guy makes a joke about it or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's apparently this was just, I'm looking at this. It was released like one or two days ago. They put this trailer up where she cries and the men talk about walking out, and people are making a lot of assumptions over like, well, maybe the walkout situation is because Claire and her man are revealed or whatever.
Now, Caitlin, the three of us, you, me, and EZR, we run a group chat between the three of us for a reason.
What's that reason?
I've been busy.
You couldn't take the URL and put it into the group chat? You're too busy for that?
I did not expect that to be the reason.
All right, I'll put it in when we get off the phone later.
Well, that's not really going to be so helpful for this countdown episode.
I'm okay with not knowing. Honestly, I prefer not to see things like that. I am true spoiler-free when it comes to that.
My assumption, honestly, is that this is actually nothing. You know what I mean? Right, I'm assuming this is one of the things where they've just randomly selected a few things that could sound really dramatic, but might actually not be important in any way. Everyone knows by the time they're dropping this trailer, like, everyone knows that Claire leaves and Tayshia's coming in.
Yeah. And so that's been the great, like, actual new Bachelor thing, is that things like that would have in the past been like overblown.
Right.
And actual things that have happened maybe were overproduced. So in this case, maybe it's just a new world and it's just exciting. Maybe we'll figure out the formula after a few more seasons. But I like that they've been kind of giving you this gigantic spoiler that Tayshia's the new Bachelorette for the second half. But where does that lead us? What's the context? And, you know, I know they're saying like never has before happened, blah, blah, blah. But there's been a few episodes that I can think of, and probably Craig too, where but only for the women, they have picked a man from like week two and that's it. The rest are just filler. Yeah. Allie and Roberto is the first one that comes to mind. I don't remember anyone else. I mean, Nick, there was one other guy from that season. Caitlin and Sean. I know another Nick was the like competition, but come on, there was no competition there. That Sean guy is like incredibly good looking. You're not going to get against that guy. According to a heterosexual woman, Craig.
Hold on. We've been through this.
I don't know. I don't agree with that.
Well, he's a little bit weird looking, but he's the best looking kind of that weird lookingness.
I mean, I guess I can see him being seen as very attractive. He is absolutely not at all the kind of guy that I would personally see and be like, whoa.
Okay, we're getting off track here.
Okay. But JoJo guy.
I'm doing the Joe Biden pose where he has his hands up and he's facing the camera, but then I realize I don't have anything to say.
Like,
go vote. Did you see the Jim Carrey impersonation of Joe Biden on Saturday Night Live? Did you see that?
No.
It's pretty good.
I miss Matt's
TV. I'm avoiding things like that right now.
Yeah. And it makes me sad because Jim Carrey probably was never allowed to be on SNL.
Right.
And then, you know, he was taken on in Living Color. Mad TV I thought was awesome. And I never really watched SNL. I did, but I don't know. There's a place in my heart for Mad TV. So I like just instinctually boycott SNL when it gets too big.
Well, it was funny. And if you saw me right now,
Jim Carrey's a funny man.
you would think I was doing a good impersonation of Jim Carrey doing an impersonation of Joe Biden. But since this is radio, you can't see that. Okay, look, so yeah. We're going to talk about the men. We're going to do our usual each pick three or something, I think is what we've done in the past, where we, for whatever reason, we're each going to mention three guys. And then, but before that, I know, Ezra, you have a lot of things you want to set the record straight on.
Mm. Well, let's start off with Claire. We know her backstory. I think between the three of us, we all kind of think, or at least let me speak for myself and you guys can agree, I think she's entitled and selfish. And she's pushed on us forcibly by the producers for, I don't know, she's been on way too many times.
How many of the Bachelor Greatest of All Time episodes did you watch?
Zero.
Okay. Some of our listeners might have watched the Juan Pablo, where she.
Yeah, I watched Juan Pablo. I watched Caitlin. I feel like I watched a third one, but I'm forgetting who it was. So obviously, it wasn't a very good one. But I do remember watching Caitlin's season and Juan Pablo's season on The Greatest of All Time, specifically because I was like interested in theirs.
Well, Ezra, you've always been very counter narrative on her big moment on the Juan Pablo season, which is where she tells him off and says, I would never want my kid to have a father like you. And it's supposed to be like this big empowerment moment. But you have a different take.
Yeah. A lot of things are wrong with her, including that moment. More than anything, the fact that he broke up with her and that is just a comeback line and people are taking it as empowering is way off base.
Yeah, he had just broken up with her. So, you know, she's just looking for something to say to really rub it in.
Yeah, and that's vindictive and evil to say that she had a kid. He has a kid. And it's like saying you're a horrible parent. She has no idea how he parents.
Right. And actually, for the most of the season, she'd been saying how great she thought he was as a parent. Because like, oh, you speak about your kid so well and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Since I didn't watch the Juan Pablo season when it was actually on originally, The Greatest of All Time was like my first exposure other than the small clips of Claire telling him off that had been sort of previewed as like, this is Claire, you know? And I feel like watching the Greatest of All Time episode, it was such a different perspective than I thought it would be. The way that the Claire telling him off clip had always been portrayed when I'd seen it was as like, look at her, like she's found out that he's a big old phony and like she's telling him off now, you know? But then when you actually watch it in context, it's he's just dumped her.
Right.
And she's like trying to hurt him. You know what I mean? Like it's not, it would be different if she had realized that she didn't want him or, you know, if she had come to that conclusion on her own before he broke up with her, then I feel like it would have been a very different vibe. But first of all, that like, yeah, it came right after he was like, I'm not picking you. One, two, that she came across as super phony to me throughout the Greatest of All Time episode is just like, I mean, I didn't believe that she was like super in love with him and so devastated or whatever, you know what I mean? It seemed to me that she was just like really, really wanted to have like a fairy tale get married kind of thing and was very much trying to like slot him into this role, right? But like, she's on this show, so he must be the perfect man, and was just like, if anything had bothered her, she'd ignored it. But now that he broke up with her, it's her time to like unload on him. But outside of that also, yeah, the thing where like she says he's a bad dad basically also rang very, both things like a super low blow, but also that it was in direct contrast to like Craig was saying that she'd spent this whole season being like, I love that he's a dad. He's such a great dad. I love that about him, you know? And then like the minute he dumps her, she's like, and you're a terrible father. And I wouldn't want you to be the father of my kids.
Yeah. And the
and he's like, he's okay. He's okay.
Yeah. Oh, well, God. Like we talked about when you're ESL, you have certain go-to phrases. And I think that's true. Right. If anyone out there who speaks English as a first language knows a second language, that'll be true of you too. If you have to be in that language, because you do a nervous tick. Yeah. So I think that that is a low blow on the Bachelor producers side for them to like use that as like his little catchphrase as if that's funny to make fun of. In the defense to play of her.
It up and,
And people keep thinking it's funny.
Oh my
funny,
God, you're going to defend Claire?
No, the defense of Claire is insane. Like, people will twist their own logic just to accommodate the crazy things she says or the, like, not well things she says. And, you know, it reminds me of somebody that's very popular right now. Like, do you just kind of, like, decide that this person is always right and you will go all in on defending her? And I'm like, why? Why is – I don't think there's as much love for her. It's just that people are – don't – didn't like Juan Pablo for the Bachelor narrative and for their own reasons. So I don't want in any woke speak at me if they don't even know how racist they've been all along. I am so like, you can't decide, pick and choose what to not be racist against anymore. Bachelor cannot do this. Like, decide this is now our new stance. But also, here's Juan Pablo. Like, we really regret having him on. He is our punching bag. Like, no. So there's so we've gone in on both of them. But I wanted to make sure that Caitlin, you as a new viewer, at least saw what we saw or what I saw live, and then what I think a lot of people are waking up to.
Okay. Yeah, I think definitely watching that Bachelor goat episode, which, oh my god, they're so long too, like I watched it over several days because it's 3 hours, you know.
Oh my goodness.
But
same here. Yeah, that, like, the way he was portrayed was very much as like a stereotype, right? That, like, literally from like the moment they do his introduction, it's like a spicy Latin bachelor now, right? Like, they're literally doing that kind of voice, right?
That's true on Dez's season too. Like, he was a contestant, but he was like number 16. Like, it was a, he was a weird choice because he didn't make it to the final five or anything.
Oh, he was down there.
Yeah. Huh. So he was on Dez's season and she was like, he is so, like, everyone was like, he's so hot. He's so hot. Let's make him the Bachelor. It was kind of out of nowhere, but it was like, wow. In, you know, I think in a lot of people's minds, like me, it was kind of a progressive choice until it wasn't. And then I was like, oh, okay, you're going to do this to him. That's really fucked up.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you remember in like Looney Tunes when they have the Pepe Le Pew skunk? Like,
yeah.
It kind of reminds me of like a Latinx version of Pepe Le Pew. Basically, it was like the vibe that was happening. It was very, very, very like stereotype Latin lover sort of thing. Fun fact, it came across like really weird. Yeah, go
ahead. For sure. But like in France, Pepe Le Pew is Italian, and that's more true to the stereotype.
That's amazing. But yeah, like, definitely,
I don't know
what, saw the stereotype vibe. And then I also felt like a lot of the big moments, like even like the breakup with Andy, right? The fact that I found out afterwards that she wrote a book called It's Not Okay. That was basically like about being so upset at his, like, it seems to me just as like sort of like filler speech, right? Like a thing that you say a lot, not like him being like, your feelings don't matter. It's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just seems so weird to me that like she was making money off of marketing, being so upset that he said it's okay a lot, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so rude.
Mm-hmm. Who out there do you think is Team Claire? I mean, let's just try to come up with a number here.
A number? I don't. What do you mean? Like, I think they're loud. I don't think there's many of them.
I mean, I don't. And I think I don't see any Team Claire. I think.
I do. I mean, this is who The Bachelor thinks their core audience is.
I think there was thought. Past tense.
Yeah. I think there was a certain sense of like people maybe being excited that it was an older woman for sure. That it wasn't like a 22-year-old, especially because Peter's season had all these young women. And that was the thought, right? That like one of those women is probably going to be the Bachelorette. And like, that they were all like babies, essentially.
Right. But how the hell is that the thought? She's basically a 22-year-old. She lives off of Instagram. She's only famous for being like immature. That's a 22-year-old. Like this is what bothers me. The same exact person, except slightly older, but not really. Just in her, just like developmentally.
Yeah. I think that,
no, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just telling you. I'm just getting hot headed about it.
Yeah, I think she's definitely
frustrated.
Very immature. But I think that was like a selling point, was like, oh, she's not in her 20s. She's going to be the oldest bachelorette ever. Like, that's exciting. I think she is also it's going to sound so bad to say, but that she is basically like a stereotypical white suburban mom, which is like,
yeah.
She's not a mom.
Thank
but
you, Caitlin.
She has that.
Yes, that's what I've been saying.
Vibe.
To yeah, that's great. That's been EZR's take.
Yeah, that's been EZR's take the whole time. But yeah, that she very much has this vibe of like somebody who this whole thing is like trying to look super hot, but has absolutely like, she has no career ambitions. She's not like, when you compare to some of the other bachelorettes that were successful, like you think of somebody like Rachel Lindsay, right? Who's like a career person.
Right. Even Andy was a lawyer. Like there was, so was Rachel, but I mean,
and even with some of the
ones that we look down on, right?
Like,
the younger
Hannah
ones.
Brown is not, I wouldn't say she's like a career woman per se, but at least she did talk about it on the show with like that she liked interior design and she did want to be able to have her own money in some way. You know, she didn't just want to be an accessory to a certain extent, but I feel like that's what Claire's vibe seems to be, is like she is somebody who would love to be the trophy wife of someone and just hasn't found the husband yet.
Right. The world moved on with the pandemic and then all the Black Lives Matter protests and all the things that go along with that. I feel like Claire got picked when they thought this and now they think that, and we're not going to get another Claire. They wouldn't pick Claire if they were picking right now.
I don't know about that. We can talk about Matt James as the pick, but I get the feeling that Claire is still, because they think that's the core audience and she's a little bit different because she's, you know, she was born 39 years ago or whatever. That would make her the pick. The difference is the age. That's still in their eyes or in what they think we think, that's a progressive pick. Uh-huh. Maybe it wouldn't happen tomorrow, but it would happen in a year. Uh-huh. Like fundamental change? I don't think so. You know.
Matt James as the bachelor pick. What?
He is our new bachelor. Yes.
Yeah. As far as
okay, let me and Caitlin explain it to you.
No, Matt James. Going back to my Joe Biden pose. I love this pose. You put your hands up next to your chin and you stare straight ahead. Matt James. I think they actually started filming it down in La Quinta.
Oh, really? They're doing the exact same setup?
Mm-hmm. Huh. Yep. I read somewhere that they had started like just in this last week. So there you go.
Well, the Matt James pick, Craig... On the plus side for you, we're back to kind of anonymous bachelor choices, right? Like
he didn't come from anybody. Show. Yeah.
He came from Tyler Cameron's he came from him, which is to me
he's
a problem.
With Tyler, everyone likes Tyler, so they must like Matt James.
So this is a problem for me because as you know, I am no Tyler fan. And I hate that they're like, I have no problem with, I don't know who Matt James is, but let's just talk about him peripherally because that's all the information I have.
Peripherally. Okay.
Did I say it incorrectly?
No, I think that's all right. Oh. I'm just trying to get my head around it.
Oh, yeah. Peripherally. So despite how they're painting this as like a post-racial bachelor choice, this choice was like the Tyler Cameron effect. He told producers who to pick, which is not progressive at all. You're still having a white guy, a typical white guy, pick your guy. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And I mean, this is not just he's on his Instagram. They're friends. Producers are like, hey, what's up? Does your friend want to come on? This is Tyler Cameron's direct choice. Just like, remember when ex-Bachelor Sean kind of picked Ari for them.
Right.
It's like that, right? Except this one was maybe more private. Another side to this conversation is Matt James's actual culture. They made sure to get a guy that seems to be the only black man in his white community.
Florida,
which is like palpable for a lot of people. Right. Which is a palpable black man for a lot of people. Like, he has a white mom. All his friends are white. Is that really like that? That's the way they're approaching this, because they're scared of what would happen if they did it a different way. Like, this is the best choice they could have made that appears progressive, but isn't. Or maybe is. I don't know. But is definitely not like an unsafe choice. And, you know, I'd like to say that, I guess, because me and you, Craig, and Caitlin does too, we live in very like liberal cities and blah, blah, blah. But the cosmopolitanness of these cities is that there's a lot of interracial mixing. And only recently with gentrification has it been white with another race. Typically, I see a lot of interracial mixing on the within the other races. Not much with white until recently. And now I feel like a lot of white people are using it as this shield or as this badge of honor, that they have this trophy and this justification for casual racism. So I'm like not super impressed with this has really nothing to do with Matt James. It has more to do with Tyler Cameron at this point, which bugs me. So I just want to set this up. We can talk about Matt James himself as a person, which we, you know, I haven't done yet. But I'm just interested in the fact that, again, Tyler Cameron has ushered in this new era of social media friendly, woke speak, and he hides behind it. He, I'm sure, has been asked to be the Bachelor, right? But he knows it's not smart for a man to be the Bachelor. First off, because I think he's insincere. I feel he's insincere. And he kind of wants to do like the HGTV show thing. And men always come out badly on the show. Like, when's the last time a man came out, like a Bachelor lead came out well? And that includes like Ben Higgins, who's like super beloved. But remember, he said, "I love you to two women." And so that was a big deal.
Yeah.
So Tyler Cameron is kind of exploiting the dynamics of the cool kids club, because he keeps people in and out. I feel like he is the new leader of like Bachelor Nation in a lot of ways. And, you know, he gets a pass for a lot of things that he does that are wrong. Like, people have called him out because I guess he had a COVID party. Did you guys see that? I just saw the news about it. And then he supports Trump and all these things that people don't like.
Oh my God, he supports Trump? I did not know about this.
I think there was some hint of that in Matt James too, but I don't. Oof. I can find you the article, but I only am telling you what I like read 6 months ago. Okay. You guys, Matt James, I just had that to like, blah, I had to blow it.
Caitlin, that's just, you're just saying that because you live in a liberal big city.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I live in like the center of politics in the US, right? But yeah, no, I mean, this is stereotypical of me, but I could not date a Republican personally. So, but I guess that's not, Bachelor Nation as a whole does not feel the same way that I do.
Well, he was dating Hannah B for a little while, and she had
No, he wasn't, Craig.
Hannah G.
No. I mean, no. Tyler Cameron was not dating Hannah Brown, Alabama beauty queen, ex-bachelorette. Yeah, he wasn't. No,
they were doing it.
They were kissing and they were quarantined.
That's called the dating. Tyler Cameron. I'm going back to my Joe Biden hands.
Okay. That's the Tyler Cameron thing, though, is that he's wrangling the bachelorette that has way more social cachet than he does. He's taking it. But he's not, like, he's the classic, like, not commitment guy.
Okay.
Right?
That's fine.
I think he's using everything to, like, court people. Like, he knows what to say. He's a master manipulator in my eyes.
Okay,
like,
yeah, just probably.
Remember, we were watching him. And we would talk about how he led this whole group of men against Luke, who's just Tyler 1.0. Like, they're both two sides of the same coin, but because Tyler recognizes it, he uses it against Luke, the Luke that everyone hates.
Yeah. Yeah.
So right. Yeah, dating to me, I guess, is a complicated word.
I'm on Reddit to find out more about Matt James' Republican status, which is he is definitely registered as a Republican voter in the state of New York. And commenters on here are saying that
there you go.
Basically, they're sure that part of the reason this is why he's palatable to the like ABC and the Bachelor producers and things like that is that. So I'm going to read a quote from somebody on here just because it's really good. So blah, blah, blah. Let's see. There's no doubt that Mike Johnson's blackness was a little too intense for the audience. They wanted to make sure their first black bachelor wasn't the male version of Rachel Lindsay. They only tolerate her because she's their only example of diversity success in the franchise. Which I think is an interesting point to say, like, he's palatable, not just because he comes from like a mixed race family, but because he's a Republican. Mm. So he's not, he's not threatening.
All right. And I agree that he's not threatening the way people assume Mike Johnson is, but Mike Johnson is not, like, he wouldn't be my choice for Bachelor either, because he is also weaponizes his status against the Bachelor. Same way he's another Tyler Cameron to me. Like, they're not, but people use him, the same people use him to be like, I love it. You know, they have to say they love him or else they're seen as racist. We've had a lot of conversations about Mike the same way we did with Tyler and a few other. Garrett comes to mind, that they're all kind of the same type of alpha male from Hannah B's season. Like, Hannah B, really, despite how many characters and how much like standout guys she got, and standout, I don't mean that as a positive. I mean, like, people that stay in your mind. She got a bad crop of men, because these men are strategic and I feel disingenuous and cynic, almost like, you know, they know how to manipulate the Bachelor show, the Bachelor, the social media world, and the people themselves. I think they made a good choice in not picking Mike Johnson, but I don't know, you know, Matt James, like, I don't know him. Despite him being a Republican, he could be a great Bachelor and he could be sincere. That doesn't bother me that he's a Republican, personally.
All right. Well, so we don't know enough about him. So let's close the book on him and move on to the next topic. I mean, that is the third time you said we don't really know anything about him.
I mean, people have been following him since Tyler Cameron was on the air, which is over a year ago. I feel like I don't want to know him that way, though. I'd rather see him as the Bachelor. But if you guys know something about him that I don't, I'm listening, but, you know.
I don't know anything interesting, really. Yeah. Like, the only stuff I know about him is he was, like, a college football player, too, like the way that Tyler Cameron was. I think he went to Wake Forest, which I remember as a former North Carolina resident. And he's involved in that company that does like food tours and things in New York that Tyler Cameron's involved in. He's in that too. And that's pretty much all I know.
Yeah. I mean, like, what I'm trying to say, Craig, is that I'm willing to give this guy a chance. And I think you should especially give him, I mean, we're all going to give him a chance, but Craig, you should especially be like happy that he's the Bachelor, because he is finally following your rule. I mean, it's like a loophole in the rule, but it's still there.
Yeah, he didn't come runner up.
He didn't get STDs.
Season.
Yeah,
yeah.
He didn't. He's not passing on the same.
He has a job or some means of earning income besides the Bachelor. I would have taken advantage of my friend being on the Bachelor over and then doing Instagram stuff too, so I don't hold that against him. So I'm pro Matt James for now.
Okay, yeah, me too.
He screws up,
him being friends with Tyler is like red flag for sure.
Yeah,
but who knows, right? You could. I have plenty of friends that are bad people.
So I used to. I don't. Not anymore. I don't know what happened to all of them.
What happened to all of them? They all died.
Yeah. Okay, so now you want to talk about Colton and Cassie, right?
Yeah. So
we gotta tread real carefully, because I know your talking points, and I just think we need to be very careful that we're not victim shaming.
I'm ready for your rebuttal. I don't think we have to tread carefully. My point is clear.
I don't really have a rebuttal. That's the thing.
No. Okay, Caitlin does. Yeah, let me just lay out the argument here.
Okay, just do it very clearly and very carefully. Not like the presidential debates.
Okay, quick backstory. Colton, quote unquote, picked Cassie when he was the bachelor. They broke up, supposedly amicably. She then, like a few weeks later, filed for a restraining order, citing stalking and harassing her with unsettling text messages. That's a quote. Okay. We, as a podcast, have gone in on Colton for an entire season. There was so much wrong with him. But one of the number one things we said was wrong with him was that he was so inexperienced. Mm. And that's a problem, because when you're inexperienced and naive and immature, you don't know how to read the signs people are giving you, right? Yeah,
I wish I could go back in time and date the women that I dated first, so that I would have the sexual, emotional, you know, all that kind of maturity that I have now, or at least I think that I have now, and I would treat them a lot better, especially when we broke up. Yeah, he didn't have that. Yeah.
And that's right. And the Bachelor producers use that to paint him as naive, which is, it's true, but it's also like, you don't marry the first person you love. Like, if you do, you are going to have a lot of problems. Like, that's,
I know somebody who did that. First sexual partner. Yeah, they're still, happily married.
I mean, some people are well adjusted. He was not well adjusted. Right, we got that.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying Colton.
My friend or Colton?
No.
Okay. Well,
people work out because they're well adjusted and they come from those backgrounds and they were told how to emotionally be smart and how to emotionally mature. Colton clearly never was. He got this is our argument. He got a definitive no from Cassie during the Bachelor production. Her dad came to her and said, "You're clearly not interested in Colton. Listen to your conscience and our religious upbringing, and don't sell your soul for like an Instagram presence." During production, to his own credit, he jumped the fence, right? He was so pissed. He heard the no, though. And then producers jumped in like mommy saving you and talked to Cassie, or like, probably were like, "You can cash in on this if you say yes to him. Colton, guess what? She is actually interested. We don't know why she said that." So all of a sudden, the next shot we see makes no sense. She's like, "Take it all back."
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but they were like, it was all of a sudden a sunny day. Like, he jumps the fence. They can't find him. He's in a vineyard. Oh my God, what are we going to do? He's lost. And then commercial, you know, like some more talking. But then all of a sudden we're back the next day and Cassie had, quote unquote, thought it over. And Colton is sitting with her and he's like, "Can you believe I jumped the fence? Oh, my God, that's crazy. I'm so glad we're together now." And us, me, you, and at the time, Chris, we're like, "What? No, you heard no. You felt no. That's a no."
Right.
Like, that's a for sure no. And we called it dystopian because
then a year later he blows us off in the park here in LA. Remember that?
Right. And we knew you are so mad about that. I don't care. He's suffering inside. Yeah. So now here we are.
Caitlin, are you following all this?
Yeah, Caitlin.
Yes, to a certain extent. Sorry. Like, I watched that season, so I distinctively remember the fence jump and the, you know, he's all in on Cassie and she's like, I don't know about this. This seems like a no for me. And then all of a sudden is like, maybe it's fine, actually, though. Like, let's just try it.
Okay, so
right. And
warp
then
ahead.
The girls, wait. Craig.
Yes.
The accused Cassie, and Cassie did not deny, she kind of admitted it, that her whole point of being on, her and Kaylin's whole point, which is why they're best friends, was to be the Bachelorette. They were going to pretend to be interested, to make it very far, and to, like, appeal to America. They had secret conversations, not secret, they had conversations that other women overheard about how they're trying to just make it far. And, yeah, so what Caitlin said, co-host Caitlin just said, that then Colt and Cassie were like, you know what, let's just try one day at a time kind of talk. They break up because it was inevitable. You can't be with someone you don't like.
They live in an apartment in Hollywood, apparently on the same floor as contestant Caitlin or Kaylin. And then they did. I mean, they were together for a couple of years now, right? A year and a half?
Maybe like a year and a half.
I think a year and a few months. And he got COVID.
Yeah. Yeah, he got COVID.
I shouldn't laugh at that, but yeah. In the story of this, that he got COVID, and I think he was living with her family, and she nursed him, and things like that.
Yeah. So in my eyes, you know, like she wanted to be famous without any reward, without any scrutiny. That's fine.
Let's get to the petition for the restraining order here.
That's my then they break up. And it seems fine at first, and then he's outside their house. My argument is what I just said, just that there's another side to this. There is no victim blaming going on. I mean, if there is, tell me. Give me the rebuttal. Give me the argument so I can address
it. I'm not an expert in victim shaming, so I can't. That's where
victim blaming. Right?
Victim shaming. Victim shaming or victim
blaming? No, because
the same thing.
Victim shaming would be that I'm shaming her for being a victim. I don't disagree that she's the victim.
Well, but I don't know enough about victim shaming to know if you're victim shaming.
Okay.
We need an expert in victim shaming to tell us whether or not.
No, don't. Because every armchair Instagram account can tell us we are.
Okay, so say what you were going to say, and then Caitlin and I will try to figure out if there's any victim shaming going on.
My only point was that there's a lot of missteps on the way to this. I've already said I have no empathy for Colton in all of this. He's inexperienced and he knows that, and he tried to get out of it. He jumped the damn fence, and here we are. And that's it. Like, I don't have, like, I'm not, like, I don't hate Cassie. I just think she didn't, you know, like, this is the kind of thing that, like, I understand that he was outside the parents' house.
Might have put a tracking thing on her car.
Oh, right. I had not read, that did not come out at the time until later.
Yeah, filed a police report about it, I think today or yesterday.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
I have like, whoa, that's insane. He is not well.
Yeah, something what is else? Not. There's something very wrong going on.
I mean, what
you're saying
her more than she did.
You're saying that he's been a weirdo all along, and this is just the culmination, the last act of being a weirdo. She knew she was going along with the weirdo when she got talked into dating him by Bachelor producers. Now, that doesn't mean that she should have the right to be stalked. No one does. But it's the end of a long strain of her going along with this whole thing, right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm just saying that there's no, like, end sentence in this. There's no, like, this is my, like, you know, I'm not arguing in a court. I'm trying to explain a the unrolling of this whole thing. And the fact that people are trying to boil it down, not you, but that people on Instagram are trying to boil it down to, I meant this, or like, I said this, I didn't. And mm-hmm. that's what is wrong with Instagram, armchair, social justice, like not social justice. That's the problem. That term's been perverted and identity politicked. Right. I'm not trying to boil it down to anything. I'm trying to give the whole story.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I think that, like, she dated him in sort of a, or at least it seems, obviously, like, none of us know them or know what goes on behind the scenes, etc. But it seems like she kind of went along with dating this guy that she wasn't super into. Which makes sense to me in terms of, she's what, like 24, 25? I've absolutely dated people that I'm sort of like, I don't know if I actually like them a lot, but they seem to be into me. So, you know, especially at that age where you're like, they're into me, so I guess maybe I should try it out and just see what happens.
Right. And I think under me this, and like, you and a million people, oh, sorry, Caitlin, just me and you and a million people are guilty, or whatever, not guilty, but like we've totally done that, and we've been lucky enough not to be stalked.
Yes, right. Exactly. Okay. That, like, you sort of end up dating somebody even if you're not really sure about them, just because they're into you, so you might as well see how it goes.
Sure.
And it seems like it probably spun out into this thing where, like, she dated him to be like, might as well see what happens here. Then he ends up, like, getting sick and living with her family, so she obviously can't break up with him then, you know? Because you can't dump him when he has COVID. Plot. You can't, like, do that. So then she waits until he's well enough and, like, his book tour or whatever is going on to finally pull the plug on it, to be like, all right, I'm not into you. This is definitely not going to work. And it seems like he just sort of, like, went off on this thing where, like, she's saying he's showing up outside of her parents' house and he's put a tracking device on her car. Like, right, what? He's obsessed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's above and beyond the normal, like, getting a weird text in the middle of the night from an ex. You know what I mean? Right. Like,
yeah.
There's a one thing where they send, like, something odd to you once, and you're like, ugh. And then there's she's receiving unsettling text messages, and he's, like, randomly hanging out outside the house, and this tracking device bullshit is crazy. Like,
And then she was hanging out with an ex, and he was like, I see that you're hanging out with the ex.
Oh, my God.
Well, see,
Oh, no.
Not to make fun out of this, but, like, I think the only ex I can think of is the one that she was with when she did the reality show about being, like, a Christian college student.
Laguna Hills. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So it could be, I mean, just like, you know, what's her name? Cavallari. Like, hanging out with that guy.
Kristen Cavallari.
Full circle, so
Cal. Can you believe they broke up? That is so strange.
Oh, my God, Craig.
Jay Cutler.
You are, like, such a fan.
Not really, but that reality show, look at you. I kind of like.
Look at you. You love
you
them.
You can't even see me. You have no idea what I'm doing right now.
You have little hearts in your eyes. You love them, and they're broken now. Like, you're, like, so pissed.
It is strange. Kristen Cavallari and Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
That was a fun reality show to watch. That's all, and it's so strange that just out of the blue, he must have said that he wanted to see other people or something. Like, what would lead to that breakup? They were so, like, they had it all.
Greg, you're in love with their relationship
with Jay Cutler. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. Yeah. It's not like, it's like a crush on their love. It's not a crush on them. No, I'm glad for you that you found a lot of, like, you know, if they can't make it, damn. Right. I don't know.
No marriage, no divorce. That's Maybe that's the answer to everything. Okay, look, so
made you more cynical. That's horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
we,
I guess
we
ultimately
wrap up
my
with
point
the men here. Yes.
Sure. But just to tie up that thing. Ultimately, my point is that and this is going to be true in like 5 years or 2 years or 10 years, I don't know. But this kind of like I say something that's part of an ongoing conversation, or we say something as the Bachelor Masters podcast, and it leads to this kind of abstraction where where people replace what we actually said with like this essential, like decided that they're going to take this away. Like we're going to take the essentialness of what you said, despite all the context. That is dumb. It's lazy and it's not productive. And so if there are fake, I think the people that do that are like pseudo moralists. You know, they think they're doing something right, or they're doing cynically or not. I don't care. They're wrong and they're dumb. That's not my problem.
They're wrong and they're dumb.
Points. Yeah.
Okay. It makes sense to me.
We can move on now. Yeah.
Just for old time's sake. Hey, co-host Chris. Or what did I call? Recorded Chris. That's right. Hey, Recorded Chris. What are your thoughts on marriage?
Oblivion and a fulfilling existence.
Yeah. See, Jay Cutler might agree with that. Okay. So we each pick three for whatever reason, right? Is that true? We did that?
Yes, we did that.
Okay. I'll go first. Kenny Brash. Braasch. Brash.
Yeah. He's now, second land.
I picked this guy not because I think he's going to win, but because, you know, they took these photos literally like in the lobby of the La Quinta. And this guy, they didn't even like pat his face down to get the grease off. He must have just come back from a workout. He's super greasy and gross. And it's very it's a very unflattering picture. So I feel for the guy. But it says he's from Oak Lawn, Illinois, which is a Chicago suburb. Is a talent buyer, model, and co-owner of the Right Stuff Entertainment. He was part of the recast. All right. Uh-huh. Kenny.
Wait, why though?
Just because I feel bad for the guy.
Because you think he looks bad in his picture?
He looks horrible. It's like, hey, you just ran a half marathon. Come over here and take a picture.
Okay, hang on. I'm going to look at Kenny's picture because he was on my list potentially.
See, I'm looking at the Marie Claire article. I don't know.
Right.
Oh, you're looking at
the Marie Claire picture. Okay. On the Bachelor website, that's a lot better. It's so better. I only saw tattoos. Like that's what he's trying to show.
Yeah,
yes.
He's trying to be the cool Love
Island
style.
So he looks
style.
Better in the ABC
no.
picture.
No, he looks horrible. Oh. But like
he looks,
I mean, better.
Not as shiny, yeah. I guess. Yeah, he's not like. Yeah. I was interested in him both because I don't think he's going to win at all, and he seems frankly terrible. But his. His ABC, like, you know, they tell you what their job is. It's boy band manager. So I was immediately intrigued.
Oh. Sure, yeah.
Is that what uh-huh. a talent buyer is? I guess
well, there's actually another boy band you. Manager.
Yeah, there's boy bands are coming back. They're huge now. But I do not like
away.
He has written, so this is the ABC bio for Kenny. Looks and personality are equal in priority, and he's hoping for a girl with both. He wants a woman who is not controlling, fake, or wrongly opinionated. And if he doesn't agree with her opinions, she should be ready for a spirited conversation because Kenny says he doesn't let things slide easily. This is a terrible man. Do not date this man.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Why? Because he thinks looks are important?
Craig, did you... What?
Craig, did you miss what he's saying?
Okay, that's enough. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, Caitlin, who give us some of your picks?
Okay, hang on, I'm going back. My number one pick, who I also don't think is going to win, but I have selected him because I think he's handsome. That's my my criteria here. Is Joe, the anesthesiologist from New York City.
Oh, yeah. He was the one that he was voted a most eligible physician or something.
Yeah,
that
in what publication? Like, why won't they tell us?
Well, you know what I was thinking?
Voted.
You know when you're on the airplane and they always have ads in the back of the airline magazine that's like 30 hottest, you know, 30 most eligible cooks.
Like the best plastic surgeons in America or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. The best orthopedic surgeon or something. Yeah.
I think that's now, probably what we're talking about here. But I like this guy because I think he's handsome. He's been voted one of the most eligible doctors in New York. So that I love like a catch, right?
He has the coolest shirt on, too. I love his V-neck.
Because you can see his nips.
Yeah. Hell yeah. You got it. It's fun.
Craig loves to show his nipples off for some reason. You would wear like the deepest V-neck and like the small, like the thinnest cloth if it was socially acceptable.
I'd like to point out here
that so he's a doctor, obviously, which means he's been an essential worker.
We're all falling in love here.
It says on his ABC bio that he is also a survivor of COVID-19, so he got it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I like this guy. This is my bachelor crush now. I'm trying to think if there's anything. There's some warning signs in here, I'll say. The ABC bio, Joe's ideal woman is physically fit and passionate about maintaining a healthy lifestyle. That's the coded language for that you need to be skinny.
Yeah.
Well,
but
okay, it's hard to not be skinny when you lead a active fitness lifestyle.
But yeah, that's the phrase you say when what you mean is like no fatties. That's what he's thinking. Yeah. And what he says is you're into maintaining a healthy lifestyle.
Right. It kind of means like stay hot forever, even no matter what happens.
So I don't love that, but it's fine.
Wait, I have a question though. For you too. I mean, like, look, the three of us are guilty of staying in school for way too long. So I have utmost respect for staying in school. I, like, believe me, every time I think about going back, I like, But you guys are still there, which is great. He's an anesthesiologist. Now, my experience with anesthesiology is that you just go in and poke someone and then you leave. Now,
you don't leave.
Do they do more than that?
You have to stay there the whole
time. You monitor.
Okay.
I got
the poke twice and left, and they left.
No,
and
I think you get in trouble if you leave. Like, you always read about, like, these rackets where, like, there'll be one anesthesiologist for multiple surgeries, and you're not allowed to do that.
Take it up with the Kaiser on Sunset, Craig. But
I think that's a bad anesthesiologist. I think they're supposed to stay because, like, if something goes wrong with your medication or whatever, that they're supposed to be around.
What I'm trying to say is that, like, let's just say they do stay. You need a doctorate degree. You need a doctorate degree for that. Like, not doctorate, but you need to be a doctor.
Yeah,
for
you need a medical degree for that.
Yeah,
right. But
to
like,
me, if you're ever at a party and you meet an anesthesiologist, you want to hang out with that person. They tend to be really funny, cool people because
you get to like chill after you
yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
They handle like the good drugs, you know what I'm saying?
Oh my god, Craig. You're just trying to get a hookup. That's different. I'm talking about how
you are a medical doctor. Yeah, you definitely are a medical doctor. I feel like what you're saying is it's sort of like when you meet a podiatrist, maybe, and it's
people say about dentists
because of the Seinfeld episode.
Where you're like, they're a doctor. The proctologist. They did go to medical school.
Yeah. Well, he kept asking them questions. And he's like, no, I'm a foot doctor. Or whatever.
We've mentioned Seinfeld.
MD. Anyway,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm not trying to make fun of. I mean, I'm sure he went to school for a long time. I'm sure he's very smart. But I'm trying to ask, is that like a really desirable, like, is it desirable because it's like a chill job, kick you know, lay back, as opposed to like an ER doctor is very stressful. You know, like, I'm not trying to say anything bad. I'm just wondering. I'm asking.
I wonder if it's a compensation thing too, because like every surgery, you'd need an anesthesiologist, right? But the stress level of being an anesthesiologist versus being like a surgeon, probably much lower.
But you still have to have steady hands during that one, like, well, okay, I've only gotten an epidural.
When you put the, when you put it in your back or whatever. Fine.
Yeah, you still got to be good at that. Medical things. But
sure, yeah. But is that okay, how do I say this nicely? Is that all you do? Do you also write papers? Do you also research? Do you also what?
You probably didn't know it, but when you had your epidural, he was sitting in the room the whole time with a laptop monitoring your vital signs.
He was actually writing a paper during that.
He could have been. I mean,
I love that answer. Okay, good. I feel better paperwork. Now.
Yeah.
I don't. I'm ignorant about it. I'm just asking because I don't want to say that they don't do anything. I'm just saying, comparatively, do they do anything? I'm sure. Yeah. They do a lot.
Okay. I feel like this is. I would tend to defend him not just because I think he's hot, but because. As a person who is getting a doctorate and the number of times I have to be like, no, I have the useless kind, you know, like, yeah, you'll be able to call me a doctor, but I cannot, I'm not saving people's lives unless, well, I mean, the things I think are important, you know, it was like, I find them important and interesting, but they are not important and interesting to other people.
Right. Well, don't get me started on medical doctors. I could kind of agree
with what Craig's going to go into or was going to go into. Like, I agree. We're all like, when someone says doctorate, I think of everything else except a doctor first. Right. Like, I think, oh, in what science? Oh, medicine? Really? Are you sure? Like, do you want to be there?
Like, but, you don't want a fully funded, like, 12-year thing? Are you sure?
Well, yeah, it's more like, are you sure Western medicine works that well?
Ooh.
Whatever, though. Not going to talk about it.
Okay, we're running low on time here. So, EZR, why don't you give us a pitch?
You know what? Bennett and Chasen are my Patrick Batemans. They were like very American Psycho-y to me, right?
Yeah.
We don't know what they're going to be like. They might be the most sweetest, you know.
Guys on here that look very, like cardboard cutout American Psycho kind of guy.
Yeah. But to be fair, you know, JPJ, John Paul Jones, was that, and he was awesome.
Yeah, so that's true. Like, great character. Right.
That's true. You guys really like him. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I love him. So, okay.
Well, who do you think?
Craig, I'm sorry.
What?
I can't pick a guy. Because we already know who wins. But I can't say. I'm going to say something instead. Because it's important. It's bothering me that The Bachelor has, for the past couple years plus, tried to convince us that trying to tell us that they're no longer going to pick Instagram models. They're trying to have a foot in each media, in television and in social media, that they are not keeping up well. Because they're still... they're still picking these men, and I'm going to double down on this because I said it last time and people said that's not true. Men specifically that have companies, starting their own companies with their names on it. Like one guy moved to Santa Monica to start his tech startup dreams. What? No, like that doesn't make any sense unless you're trying to be on reality TV. A CBD company, a talent buyer, that's Kenny, Sober Living House, all these things are like the lifestyle brand look that they're trying to get famous for. So I'm kind of annoyed that, well, first off, that the Bachelor franchise is not nipping this early on. And secondly, that they even get to advertise themselves and pretend like they're going on for love. Second little mini rant. I am still annoyed that the one guy that did kind of stand out to me was the very first guy. AJ, not because he's going to win, not nothing, but the way they wrote his bio compared to what you guys just said, the other guys' bios were that were like kind of twisted around to sound better than they were was, oh my God. So AJ, you guys remember AJ?
AJ Jalawan from Earth.
Yeah.
Yes. The modern Muslim.
Is that right. What it says?
So yes,
it does
that's
say.
That's not on the Marie Claire.
Nope. It says, thanks to the strong bonds with his mom, because in parentheses, Muslims hate women, right? Like, that's the connotation we're supposed to get. AJ has a sincere respect for women, this is a quote, and says he wants to find a partner who will intellectually challenge him and, you know, blah, blah, blah. AJ considers himself to be a modern Muslim versus a profile like Ben, who's the next one over, a few over. He's a Midwestern boy with California dreamboat good looks. Now, if those
also,
are
I'd like
dog
to insert,
whistles,
he is not. He does not
right.
have California dreamboat.
No, on top of all that, he's wrong.
Like, on top of all that, this is a lie.
Yeah, you can always count on EZR to really pick out the, you know, like, I glance over, well, I was reading the Marie Claire article, which didn't mention the modern Muslim, but you can always count on EZR to find these things.
I mean, these aren't dog whistles. These are like fucking blow horns at us. Like, I'm just pissed that here they are to making these concessions and they're doing the black box and they're giving us this like, you know, crap hole like excuse. And then here we are with the same dumb shit. Stop. Like, start all over. Scrap it.
You know that so, if AJ makes it more than one episode, he's absolutely going to be talking about his faith with Claire.
They have to make him. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like the only way he doesn't is if he gets cut on the first night.
Right. And then, by the way, I don't know anything about Yosef, but he is slated, according to Chris Harrison on ET, so this might be a mini spoiler, to be a villain. Chris Harrison said, this guy is a villain. And
yeah,
so
that's what it says in the Marie Claire article.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, no Bachelor franchise. They're not just like me and you, but that's okay. Or like you.
Yosef is a territorial manager for Northfield Medical, and he also works as a model. There you go.
Oh, that's very Terrace House of them to be like, he has a job and he's a model, you know?
Yeah. Zach Clark, I'm guessing, is not a model. Oh, he's a recovering addict who runs sober living house. Whoa.
Right.
That's interesting.
But it's a lifestyle brand. It's not a real... So my point with the whole Instagram thing is that... Did you guys see Brendan? Brendan? That's how it's spelled. I'm
scrolling up,
yeah. Just on paper, he's Brendan. Who The Bachelor is supposed to be for. He is a... He doesn't seem influency. He doesn't seem like he has a normal job, right? He's like, I forget. He's either roofing guy or the other guy.
Says he's an artist here.
Oh,
he's a commercial roofer, according to ABC's bio of him.
Right. Slash.
There's
artist.
A handful. Okay, right. There's a handful of guys that seem like aren't just after fame. And then the rest are. And of course, they're going to be more normal looking. Like, that's the drawback, I guess.
Wow, I love Brendan's bio, because I'm looking at the ABC one. The last bullet point for him is Brendan's signature look is a turtleneck.
Except he's not wearing a turtleneck in this picture.
He's not in any of these pictures, but I love that that's what they included there. Hmm. I hope he's in a turtleneck in like every scene on the show.
Yeah. Okay, let's just pick.
Oh, I had one guy I wanted to briefly mention who's not those guys, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course.
This is going to be very short because I only am selecting him because I hate him. Jeremy, 40, a banker from Washington, D.C. And I had to look because he's from where I live. And
here it says he's from Virginia Beach.
So
Jeremy Higgins.
I think so. The guy is 40 and he's a banker. Is that the same?
Yeah.
So it says DC on ABC, but I'd like to just point out that what he has said here is, I'll just read the first two sentences of his ABC bio. At 40 years old, Jeremy is the oldest contestant to ever come on The Bachelorette. And he says he's feeling the pressure to finally settle down. Not that he hasn't been trying, but he says that DC is just full of type A women that he doesn't get along with.
Caitlin. Oh my goodness. I'm so sorry. Well, if you know the LA stereotypes, you know how I feel all the time.
This man is like every man in DC, is what I'm going to say. Who's like, wow, I would sure love a woman who has a good career, and like, but I also don't want her to have any thoughts or in any way actually be ambitious. She should be like a power suit Barbie, basically.
I'm single. It's not my fault I'm single. It's because they're all type A women.
It's all these DC type A women, you know?
Yeah.
Can you believe that I've heard this trope now for DC dating a few times, that they're only interested in politics or something like it's getting to be a trope. So I'm interested in the fact that, like, is New York setting these tropes for every other city, cosmopolitan city across the nation, or is it like just tropes that people kind of have to have? I'm interested in that because it's when I read that I was like, okay, this has been one too many times that this has been said.
Yeah,
calling me.
Yeah, I just had.
But he's 40, right?
Like, first of all, he's 40. I hate everything about him.
Tell us how you really feel,
Craig. Can we say that he wrote on here, or they wrote for him, that his love language is witty banter?
Oh,
now
yeah.
That is not a love language.
That is not. Nope. You taught us what love languages were, and that is not one that I remember.
That's not a love language. Also, I would like to point out that Jeremy, one of his bullet points is he hates Instagram models, both male and female. Lest you think he's a sexist who just hates women Instagram models, he also hates the men.
Right. Where is his Instagram? Let's hunt it down.
I bet you anything that if he has a public Instagram, he's got like some terrible selfies that are him trying to be a model, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Right, right. He just hates he's been laughed out the industry that doesn't exist as an industry officially yet. So, okay, Chase, okay. Go crazy.
No, I think we end there. That's enough.
I feel like our consensus is that we don't like most of these men.
I mean, there's some good looking guys, for no doubt, and I appreciate that a lot of them have jobs. That's great. So far,
the men tend to have the jobs. The problem is they have this ambition that's like, that's all it's for.
Right.
But Chasen looks like every douche nozzle I went to school with.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, whatever, you know, I'm sure he might be great, but he has that look of like, I guess I shouldn't say until I meet him. I might love him. He might be the new JPJ. Can't say anything.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. And follow us on social media at Bachelor Masters. Our Facebook, which you get to by searching for Bachelor Masters in the Facebook bar, has gotten a number of likes over the last 5 months.
What's going on? We don't use it. It's a placeholder.
I'll post something there and it'll get like literally no views. So I don't know who it's showing up for, but people have liked it. So anyway, our Instagram has lots of followers. Our Twitter has lots of followers. We DM us, we'll DM you. If you follow us, we'll follow you. And come back on Tuesday. Well, so the show is Tuesday, not Monday, because Dancing with the Stars is on Monday. So Tuesday is the show, which means we'll post our episode on Wednesday afternoon. Does that sound right? Am I getting that right?
It might be a little bit later than that, because we'll probably record Wednesdays.
Yeah, we'll record Wednesday.
Yeah.
Try to get it posted that
figure
night.
Figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll sort it out.
I can't commit to this.
Yeah. we haven't talked about this yet, Craig. Come on. We don't know when you're
right. Craig, that's what the group text is for.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot that we need to talk about this on the group. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.